And it's Kerry Roble here with the Friday Frolic on 2MVR 105.9 FM. And tucked inside the Friday Frolic, we have a segment called Chat Room, which is actually my favourite bit because I am prone to a bit of chat myself. And this morning we have a visitor in the studio, Annie Seaton. And she's a top-selling author. She lives in Nambucca Heads and has actually based one of her successful books, Holiday Affair, on Nambucca and included some of the local real-life characters, so you could be in it. The book has topped online sales with Kindle and Amazon in the romance anthologies category and even been translated into Greek. And Annie, welcome to the 2MVR studios.
Thank you, Kerry. Very much happy to be here today.
Yeah, we love having studio. Well, I always say live studio guests, but we do want our guests to be live because they're much more fun then, I've noticed. But now, this year, things have really taken off for you, Annie, with your writing. Tell us about your exciting achievements with your book sales.
Well, that's absolutely true, Kerry. About 18 months ago, I took leave from my position as a high school principal, and I've always wanted to write, so I had a go at writing for a little competition, a little steampunk novel, which you now have sitting in front of you in print, called Winter of the Passion Flower. I didn't place in the competition, however, I subbed it to five publishers and had the offer of three contracts within 5 days, which was quite overwhelming.
Well, I think I've got to stop you there because what is steampunk?
Okay, steampunk appealed to me as I have a history degree and I love my history. Steampunk is an alternative interpretation of history, so that it's based on fact, but in my sequel to this book, Queen Victoria actually is assassinated, and that drives the plot of the book. The prerequisite for steampunk is that there are steam-powered contraptions in it, such as dirigibles, steam-powered elevators, and all sorts of imaginary flights of fancy that I enjoy making up.
Right. Wow, that sounds very impressive. I'll have to have a look.
But it's very my first steampunk novel is very much factually based. It's based and set in the Great Exhibition in Crystal Palace in 1851. For those history buffs out there, it's all factual, all very well researched.
So when did Crystal Palace burn down?
Oh, about 10, 15 years after that,
right.
But don't quote me on that, don't think.
Okay. Mm. That's a shame, isn't it?
Yes.
That would have been fantastic to still
Amazing.
Have that. All right. Well, with your books, tell us about these number one in the UK and the US. These are the charts, are they?
These are the charts. Mm. These are the Kindle bestsellers. Holiday Affair was your typical Mills and Boone romance, and having been an avid Mills and Boone closet reader for many, many years. As
what a confession.
For someone who has an English degree and was an English teacher, it was very much an escape into pleasure, so the dream was to be published. Unfortunately, Mills and Boone didn't want it, and I was extremely lucky to be picked up by a publisher called Entangle Publishing in the US, who are just making the big time. So I was published by them in March, and it hit the bestseller lists in April, and it actually got to number 46 out of 5 million books on Barnes & Noble. And yes, it got to number 346 on about 5 million on Amazon, and it's currently still sitting at number one in both the UK and the US on the romance anthologies chart. So for a little writer from Nambucca, it was pretty special.
Yes, you've really put us on the map there. So that's online sales. Are they in a print version as well?
Unfortunately, I don't hold the rights to Holiday Affair, but there are negotiations in place at the moment. I love to drop this. I've just come back from Las Vegas for a meeting with my publisher, and it looks like they may be publishing the indulgence line, of which Holiday, or printing rather, of which Holiday Affair is one. They're negotiating with some of the big stores like Walmart and Target in the US, and they're really taking on Harlequin, Mills and Boone as a force to be reckoned with.
That's impressive. Now, I've got a little flyer here about your books, and it's got the picture of Holiday Affair on it. It says a staid university professor and a free-spirited drifter. Now, which one is the university professor, the woman or the man?
Well, actually, she is the professor, and she thinks he's a free-spirited drifter. But if you read the book, it turns out he is actually a professor too and comes into town to become her boss.
Because, you know, what strikes me about that picture, which obviously you at home can't see, but there's this, you know, gorgeous body male and a woman in a bikini, but it's very modest bikini.
Very modest bikini.
Yeah, so why did
you... Well, I was delighted when the covers came. With all of my books, you put in the sorts of things that you envision on the cover, and your hands are in the lap of the cover artists in the US, and all three covers, I was absolutely delighted when they came because they really interpreted my words into the picture that I had. Holiday Affair starts off in the Whitsundays, so it's very much a holiday atmosphere, and that's what the cover portrayed.
All right, but it's actually set in Armidale. Buckerheads.
Armidale, oh. at a fictional university, but she is a Nambucca Heads girl, oh. and there's a lot of Nambucca Heads and the mountain and Bellingen and Armidale, so lots of local settings.
And some of the characters too, I believe.
Well, there's two characters who were delighted to be a part of it. Kevin, our well-known barista from the Bookshop Cafe, who's recently retired, has a fictional coffee shop on the headland over a fictional beach called Black Rock Beach, which any local will know is Shelley Beach, and Harvey Wall, a long-time local of many, many years, who's a local fisherman, is actually Harvey in the book. And Harvey has borrowed my one print copy of the book, and he was delighted to read it.
Oh, good, yes. We'd hate them to be upset if they read something they didn't like. Now, some people, especially the big bookshops, are not happy with publishing going online, but it's obviously worked for you, Annie. So do writers need to change their mindset when it comes to publishing?
Well, it was a very difficult change for me, Kerry, having been a librarian for many, many years and having a library degree before going teaching. I love a print book. I love to walk into a library or a bookshop and smell the books. However, I must say I have completely gone over to the dark side and all of my reading happens on my iPad and my Kindle. The convenience, the distribution, the extra people you can reach. Although I must admit I sometimes do turn over my Kindle to look at the cover on the back before I remember there is no cover. So, yes, it is very much a different world for writers these days. I am writing a single title at the moment that's set in Glen Innes that I hope will get to print, and I hope you'll see on the Big W shelves one day.
Right, right. Well, I must admit, I just took a trip to Europe and had a horrible flight and took a great big book with me and regretted it, but I had to keep it because I was halfway through it. So, yeah, I really should have made different plans, I'm sure. But now you do write in many different genres, Annie. You've got steampunk, Holiday Affair. What other genres have
Blind you Last, which you have sitting in front of you, that has got a very hot cover.
Yes.
It's pure marketing. It's called Blind Last and it has quite a sexy cover. However, it's a sweet romance. It's a paranormal romance. And
which means
it's paranormal elements, and there's actually witches and warlocks and magic in this book, and ghosts and Cupid and Venus.
Of course, so it's quite crowded in there, really.
out of all of my books so far, it's my favourite. The ghost in the book is actually based on a true occurrence. One of my dear friends in Sydney, her mother haunted the kitchen of the house that she passed away in, to the extent that the new owners sold the house because of the clattering in the kitchen at night. And I've actually dedicated that book to my friend Sharon in memory of her mother Helen, the culinary ghost.
I think they wrote a song about that, wasn't it? Get out in that kitchen and rattle those pots
and
pans.
That's right, yes. I'd forgotten that.
Now, you published three novels in 2012, which is quite prolific, but all with different publishers. Why is that?
Yeah. Well, Lyrical Press were the first ones to take up Winter of the Passion Flower, and I'm forever grateful for being my first publisher because I had heard that you had to have a study papered with rejection slips before you could get published. So it shows the change in the publishing arena at the moment. Musa Publishing, who published Blind Lust, I was actually working for them as headline editor. I work as an editor for two or three US firms as well as write. And Holiday Affair really sat in the sorts of books that Entangle were looking for. Entangled have signed me on. I'm just in negotiations at the moment for another 6 books with them that are in various stages of development. There are actually 2 sequels to Holiday Affair, Italian Affair and Outback Affair. Italian Affair is currently sitting in edits in the US, and Outback Affair I'm about halfway through writing.
So you've got several books on the go.
Yes, I'm actually writing, well, I think 6 or 7 at the moment. I don't know
how you get your head around that. Do you end up sort of with the wrong character, you know, nips in there from another book?
No, well, this Outback Affair is set in Daly River on a fictional resort. My favourite one at the moment is called Magic in Music, and it's actually set in 1971 at the Glastonbury Rock Festival, and it's about, it's a little bit paranormal. It's about time slips and ley lines, and I think that's going to be another favourite. My single title is set in Glen Innes, and it's very much a sad book about the resilience of the female spirit after tragedy strikes. What else am I writing? Surrender by the Sea is another paranormal, which I seem to lean to a little bit more.
Yes, it sounds like it, yes. Doesn't it?
It's about an art gallery owner in Monterey. I recently visited Monterey in California when I was in the States, and I could live there. It's very much like Nambucca. Mm-hmm. So I've got a little paranormal set there, and yes, another 2 or 3 on the go at the moment as well.
Wonderful. So you've just had this trip to the US. You went to see your publisher. What else were you doing there?
Well, I only went over for a week. Entangle Publishing invited me over to meet them, to meet my editor and my publisher and the publicists, because one of the special things that Entangle Publishing does for their authors is that we all have a personal publicist, and I think that has really contributed to the success of all of their books. They have had one of the books that was released a month before Holiday Affair has been on the New York Times bestseller list for 22 weeks, which is unheard of for a contemporary romance. They've sold the movie rights for a 7-figure deal, and they've sold the print rights for a 7-figure deal. So Jennifer Probst, who's another contemporary romance writer like me, has had a very successful ride this year.
Goodness me. So I'm sure all those writers out there are thinking, oh, I'm in with a chance here. Do you think there are a lot of wonderful unpublished novels gathering dust in people's homes because they haven't been able to take the next step of getting them published?
Absolutely. I think one of the keys to my quick success is I'm tenacious, I'm impatient, and if I want to do something, I set a goal and I do it. I also think in the days of digital publishing and, to a lesser extent, print publishing, it is extremely important to market yourself and create your brand. And I spent 12 months creating my brand online prior to the publication of my books in March this year. And I think, you know, a lot of people have got these manuscripts gathering dust if they got them typed up. At the moment, publishing is in the field of the writer. It used to be that writers were court publishers. In the days of digital publishing, publishers are now courting writers. It's very much a shift in what's happening in the publishing world. So, yes, if you've got a manuscript, get it out there.
All right. Well, you're also an editor, as you say, for other writers. So how important is it to have a story edited?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. One of the current bestsellers, I'm sure everybody's heard of, 50 Shades of Grey, and I get really antsy when people say to me, oh, do you write mummy porn? I go, no, I write contemporary romance. I haven't read 50 Shades because I've been very busy writing and editing, but a lot of writers that have read it have said it's very poorly edited. I think if you're going to put a product out there, it has to be grammatically perfect. It has to have correct punctuation. Being an English teacher, I feel very strongly about that. If you are, and there's a lot of people these days self-publish. So I am a freelance editor for people that self-publish as well. And again, one big publisher at the moment. And I think it's extremely important that a book is the highest quality when it goes out.
Do you edit your own work, or is it important to have a fresh critical eye on your work?
Oh, absolutely, a fresh eye, because sometimes you will read a book and you'll see the words yourself that aren't there. So before I sub a book, I get one of the Windows programs, I plug it in, I put the headphones on, and I listen to my book. And it's amazing how many words you leave out. The books are also then professionally edited by in-house editors with the publishers. They're edited for content, continuity, and grammatical structure. And then they're line edited for punctuation, full stops, capitals. So all of the publishers I'm with do an extremely good job with their products.
I've actually got a question from one of our listeners. Do you think e-books are affecting book publishing and returns to authors?
Returns to authors? What does...
I think financial returns.
Oh, returns to authors. I think e-publishing has opened up returns to authors. I think there's a lot of people making a lot of money out of e-publishing. The old days of print publishing, you would get an advance and that was it. You had to sell out your advance before you started to make money. With the e-publishers, the contracts vary from 30 to 40 to 50% of cover price. My books are only $2.99 on Amazon, but I'm fortunate that I get 40% of cover price. So for every copy of Holiday Affair that's sold, I get $1.20 US. And my first royalties check the weekend before last was an extremely pleasant surprise. And that's all I'll say.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, well, that's wonderful. It's good to hear a good news story for a writer. Yes.
And I think in the old days of print, it was so hard to get published. Mm. And there are so many costs associated with print publishing, paper, distribution, all of that sort of thing, whereas e-books are so accessible. One click and you buy on Amazon.
Mm. Yes, and I think a lot of people obviously are. Now, in August, you spoke at the RWA conference. Is that the Romance
Writers Association of Australia?
And that was on the Gold Coast. So what were you talking about there?
Okay, I was invited to be on a plenary panel to talk about the pitfalls and the advantages of digital publishing. And I was up there with five other authors. Some were self-published, some were with the big houses, some were with the smaller houses. Some had been published for 10 years, some had been trying to get published for 10 years. So we all spoke of our experiences to 400 women who are either published romance writers or trying to get published at the moment. Mm. So I was able to talk about my journey over the last 18 months and how I got there.
Okay. Have you been invited by any local writers' groups at all to
Yes, I was invited down to Kempsey Library a couple of weeks ago, but unfortunately due to a family situation I had to go to Newcastle and missed out. But I belong to the local chapter of the Romance Writers Association called 4PAN, which is 4 Points Author Network.
I thought you were going to say 4Play for a minute. I'm so
4PAN. 4PAN. And Carly Lane, who you've probably heard of, she's a local Maxwell writer.
Yes.
Carly's a member of that group. Suzanne Brandon from Port Macquarie, Kerry Williams from Johns River, Jen J. McLeod, who's got two wonderful books coming out at Mother's Day next year in print with Simon and Schuster, lives at Bonville, Bronwyn Parry, who's a very well-known romantic suspense writer from Armidale. We all meet for lunch once a week, and a couple of other members that I've missed as well.
I can imagine that would be pretty raucous with all those writers in one spot. Goodness
yes.
me. It sounds wonderful. Now, you've brought a bit of music along. Can you tell us about this? It's Peter Frampton. What is it and why have you chosen it?
Peter Frampton, called Lines on My Face, and the book that I'm writing at the moment that's set in the Glastonbury Festival in 1971. It's the music and the mood of this song. It's a very dreamy, mystical song. And when I'm writing, it puts me in the right zone. It takes me back to the 70s. Not that I was very old in the 70s, of course.
No.
And I listen to it at the moment when I'm travelling in the car. I play it over and over and over again. And it tends to be my muse. It inspires me when I'm listening to music.
Good, good. All right. Well, we'll listen to that right now. It's Peter Frampton Comes Alive. That's the name of the album. This one is called Lines on My Face. I'm not so sure about that being inspirational, but I suppose they all tell a story, don't they, to get
Absolutely.
The lines on your face. Yes. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming in, Annie. It's very exciting.
Yes, good very luck exciting with, for me, and thank yeah. you for inviting me.
Good luck with the next one. We'll all be listening out for you. So we're going to hear Peter Frampton. Bye-bye, Annie.
Thank you.
in her eyes. Frozen tears could never be a surprise. Well, you can't erase a dream. You can only wake me up. Well, my mind is turning slower, never to accept. But there's no answer. We live on your doorstep. Made you my wife. I don't need that. Yeah. We live on your doorstep. Made you my wife.